Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to Nerd Party News, the show on the Nerd Party where we recap all of the biggest news in the worlds of TV, movies, and geek culture. I'm Mike.
I'm Lance.
And today we've got a lot to talk about, don't we?
Yeah, lots of stuff happened this week.
Kind of, massive changes to the entire industry occurred.
Yeah.
So that's fun. But before we get into that, Lance, Did you see anything good this week or read anything good?
Yeah, I did see something good this week. I haven't seen the whole special, but I did see the music video for Oh Santa with Mariah Carey, Jennifer Hudson, and Ariana Grande. And it's amazing.
That's the new thing on Apple TV Plus, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been meaning to check that out. I think, Roman Coppola directed it and stuff, yeah. Which is pretty cool. So, I mean, Mariah Carey, she's become like the Christmas person, right?
Yeah, which is interesting because, like, I teach a class of American pop music history, right? And of course, like with most history textbooks, you don't get to stuff that you really knew and know of, especially in the later parts of the chronology of things until like later in the book. But we actually did get to like the 90s and the early 90s in my class. And we did talk a little bit about Mariah and that part of the decade and where you have the rise of pop star lead divas, right? And so she has gone from that to basically being and owning Christmas in a lot of ways, because All I Want for Christmas Is You is a standard now. It's a musical standard. And now she's basically one-upping herself with two other powerhouse voices of a new generation with Jennifer Hudson and Ariana Grande. It's just like this. It was just an amazing collaboration. Great song, great showcase of talent.
Yeah, I have to check that out. There's a lot of these specials which I haven't seen, like A Very Merry Christmas and stuff like that, which is from the sister of the director of the Mariah Carey thing. Sophia Coppola did that one. I've been trying as much as I can to watch holiday movies throughout the season, and I've made a point of watching one a day. And one which has really stood out to me more than any others is Happiest Season.
That's the Hulu one?
Yeah, right. Okay. It's a new movie on Hulu. It was directed by Clea DuVall, and it stars Kristen Stewart. And she plays a woman whose girlfriend is really into Christmas and wants her to go to her family's house for the holidays. However, her girlfriend has not yet told her family that she's gay. This obviously causes some problems. It doesn't go too well, but it is really, really good. I'm not the type of person who like laughs out loud at things, especially if I'm like sitting in a room by myself watching something. But I was consistently laughing out loud while watching this movie. I mean, okay. I was like giddy, you know? I mean, if you're looking for like a really good romantic comedy, this definitely hits all the buttons and everything. And it's one of the best movies of the year. I really highly recommend Happiest Season.
Cool. Yeah. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. All right. Well, should we get into our news for today?
Yeah, let's get it.
Speaking of watching movies at home by yourself, HBO Max and Warner Brothers announced that the entire Warner Brothers slate for 2021 will be simultaneously released in theaters and on HBO Max. So this is obviously huge news. Yeah. So it starts with Wonder Woman, you know, which is, I guess, their last movie of 2020. But then just to give a rundown of the other movies that are coming out in 2021, there's Mortal Kombat, The Little Things, which is the Denzel Washington thriller, Tom and Jerry, The Many Saints of Newark, which is the prequel to The Sopranos, Reminiscence, which I think is a science fiction movie. It's directed by Lisa Joy, who's the showrunner on Westworld.
Okay.
Godzilla vs. Kong, which we talked about last week. The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. In the Heights, Space Jam, A New Legacy, The Suicide Squad, Dune, Elvis, which is the new Elvis movie starring Tom Hanks, not as Elvis, but Tom Hanks is in it, and it's directed by Baz Luhrmann.
Biopic?
Yeah. King Richard, which is the movie with Will Smith where he plays Venus and Serena Williams' dad.
Okay.
And then finishing out the year with, well, the best of all of them, I'm guessing, The Matrix 4.
not Judas and the Black Messiah?
Well, that's going to be on there too. Judas and the Black Messiah, Malignant, and Those Who Wish Me Dead are all going to be on there too, but they don't have release dates yet. I think Judas and the Black Messiah is probably going to be, like, I think it'll be before February because they're going to want it to qualify for the Oscar run and everything, right?
Likely, yeah.
Yeah, so those I think, you know, but they haven't officially announced the dates for those yet, but they will be included on there. Judas and the Black Messiah, which is about...
the leader of the Black Panther Party, Fred Hampton.
Yeah, that stars Daniel Kaluuya.
Mm-hmm. And Lakeith Stanfield.
Yeah, have you seen the trailer for that?
I have.
It looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to that. And then Malignant is the new James Wan movie, which is like a horror movie.
Okay.
And Those Who Wish Me Dead is, they say it's a neo-Western starring Angelina Jolie, which is directed by Taylor Sheridan, the guy who did Sicario and Wind River.
Okay.
He wrote, yeah, and that Kevin Costner Western show that's on.
Got it. Okay.
So yeah. So that should be cool too. It's a really good lineup. But what do you think about this simultaneous release thing?
Well, it's a game changer, right? That's the best way I could describe it. And when I saw the news, all I could say was whoa, because everything is now changing at this point because they're the first group that has really done something like this, that has actually made an adjustment to the times that we're in, you know, because of all the other streaming services, they're the ones that are most tied to like the things that are going on with theaters and them shutting down and that whole business side. Cause Netflix has always been like, watch all these old movies and specific shows at home. Hulu was kind of a similar type of deal. Disney Plus is its own thing. And each of them have their own draws. HBO Max was still looking for, as we talked about last week, a draw and a way to get people to subscribe for their service long-term. They needed, you know, a Mandalorian. They needed Netflix original show. Like they needed something like that, to like something heavy that'll really get people enticed to do it. And for them, instead of it being like one single thing, it's a lineup of things. And so that is how they are going to compete, I guess, and also stay competitive and to make sure that they get some return on the investments they made.
Yeah, and you know, just to clarify, even though we did talk about it last week, they're following the same distribution strategy as they're doing for Wonder Woman, where it'll be in theaters and on HBO Max for like a month. Mm-hmm. And then after that first month, it'll leave HBO Max and just be in theaters for a second month. Mm-hmm. And then after 2 months, it will be available on streaming platforms, you know, premium VOD, you know, where you can rent it for like $20 or whatever they're gonna do, you know, that thing. And then it'll, you know, just kind of come out through the normal channels on video after that.
But again, but like we were saying last time, it's like they found a way to try to, in theory, to keep people subscribed.
Yeah. Right.
And that was
once,
the big thing.
Once Wonder Woman is gone, then you can watch Mortal Kombat and, you know, all the rest of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely a game changer. You know, I mean, I've seen a lot of people make a lot of speculations about a lot of various things.
There's been a lot of hot takes.
There definitely have. I mean, my personal feelings, and this is true. I know that this is how I'm going to react, because it's the same thing that I do with Netflix. I have HBO Max, right? Because I want to watch Euphoria and I want to watch Westworld and Lovecraft Country and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But even with that, like, I just know that, again, assuming theaters are open, I mean, there's a lot of lurking variables at play, but assuming yes. that theaters are open and you can go to a theater and watch a movie, you have the choice between the two. Like, I'm always going to choose going to see it in the theater, because that's like literally my favorite thing to do, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, last year I saw like 175 movies in the theater, and like more than half of those were movies which were available to me at home, like things that I, you know, either classic movies which I owned, or things like, you know, The Irishman or Marriage Story, which are on Netflix. I saw both of those movies twice. I've never once logged on to Netflix to watch them, you know?
Yeah, I see.
It's just, I'd rather go see a movie in the theater, and especially now where you see, like, a lot of these chains are doing things like subscription plans where, you know, for $20 a month or whatever it is, you can watch, you know, whether it's unlimited movies or three movies a week or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd rather pay $20 a month to see any movie I want in the theater than pay $15 a month to see Godzilla versus Kong at home.
I hear you.
I'm going to do both, but you know, and there's, you know, part of me that sees this and thinks, ooh, well, that's cool, you know, and it'll be cool in terms of like re-examining things, you know, like you can watch Suicide Squad in the theater and then go back home and watch it again and, you know, dissect whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just know that for me personally, my viewing habits being what they are, I'm still going to go see all these things in the theater instead of watching them at home. Mm-hmm. That's just me. Yeah. It's crazy.
It is.
And it'll be really interesting to see what everyone else does. I mean, Universal seems to be locked into this deal that they have with a lot of the chains now, where they're going to be releasing their movies in theaters for essentially three weekends, like 17 days. And mm-hmm. then depending on how much money it makes at the box office, they'll either release it on streaming like after 17 days, or they'll release it in streaming, you know, further down the line. If it's like, you know, Fast and Furious makes $1 billion, they're not going to put it on iTunes right away, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. That really seemed to be the direction that everyone thought the industry was headed in, but now this HBO Max thing kind of changes all that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I have a feeling going forward it's going to be closer to the Universal model, but who knows? It's the Wild West now, isn't it?
We just have to wait and see, but it's just kind of crazy how, like, we are now being forced to change our habits and mindsets on things, you know, and yeah. just kind of accept that for a lot of cases, this is probably going to be the new normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is interesting. I mean, I get it. You know, my co-host Max, like, he, you know, I'm sure his reaction to this news was like, great, I'll never have to leave my house again, you know, and that's, and that's perfectly fine. You know, yeah. I mean, it's cool that people have the option, but at the same time, yeah, for me, I don't know. Not much is going to change in terms of actually watching movies. Out of this lineup, what are you most looking forward to?
Denzel's new project, because stuff he's involved in is always interesting, I think. Obviously, Wonder Woman, Mortal Kombat, the Black Panther movie, the Black Panther Party movie, I should say. and I mean, Suicide Squad, I'm going to see it anyway, just because of, you know, I'm kind of contractually obligated to see these comic-related things.
Yeah.
So far, that's kind of what's on my radar. And then the others, I'll just kind of wait and see what's going on, like what the reviews are on some things, or like if I see a trailer that might look interesting, that might entice me to see it a little bit more. But so far, those are probably what my top picks.
Okay. All right. Yeah, for me, I mean, I think probably the Suicide Squad is number one on my list. James Gunn is just, he's so good. And if you look at the original Suicide Squad movie, like, that movie has a lot of problems.
It's okay to say that it's bad, because it is.
It is bad, but it's extremely watchable. Like, I see a good movie in there.
You do? Because I do not.
I mean, everyone's like, release the Snyder Cut. And I'm like, yeah, go ahead and release the Snyder Cut. But if I'm going to be completely honest, like, I would much rather see the Ayer cut of Suicide Squad, because I feel like you could make that movie good. And
I disagree.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. But, you know, then you look at, like, Birds of Prey. I mean, what did you think about Birds of Prey?
It's better than I watched it recently, and when I first came out of it, I was like, eh. But when I watched it the second time, I was like, this is not that bad. This is actually pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I love that movie. It might be the best movie of the year so far. I don't know. I mean, Trial of the Chicago 7 was really good, but Birds of Prey, I really, really love that movie. And that, to me, is like what you could do with that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And James Gunn, I mean, I don't know. I have faith. I have faith in him. So
okay.
That's my number one on the HBO Max.
Cool.
So, all right. Well, speaking of DC projects and everything like that, there's some big news in the Arrowverse this week.
Yeah, my wheelhouse. So David Ramsey is coming back. And he's going to direct 5 episodes in the universe, but and also guest star as himself across, you know, several of the Arrowverse shows. He's going to be reprising his role as John Diggle. And it also even says a special mystery character, which it's not that much of a mystery for those who have seen all of Arrow. And for those that have not finished all of Arrow, you could probably guess where it's going.
This week I finished season 5 of Arrow and all the other shows, but I am, you know, aware of kind of what happens. I mean, spoilers for a show which has been off the air for like a year or whatever, but
yeah,
he gets like a what appears to be a Green Lantern ring, right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, so, I mean, do you think that this is going to be like their big crossover this year? It's going to be like Green Lantern shows up
in a way? Yes. And what I think is going to happen is, and this is a good plan for him, because, like, number one, like, Diggle is a fan favorite character in the Arrowverse. I don't think there's a character in the Arrowverse that has a higher approval rating than Diggle does. And for good reason. And I think that it makes sense for him to appear across all the shows, given what happened to him at the end of the Arrow finale, where, you know, he gets the Green Lantern ring, and it makes sense for him to kind of like be kind of hopping around just and helping out when he can. And I guess trying to either find answers or somebody that can help him with whatever he found. He's probably going to be keeping it a secret, likely knowing the Arrowverse the way I do. He's likely keeping it from other people and only going to trust certain people with the weirdness that he just discovered, because he was part of the fun of his characters. He was always weirded out by like people doing extra normal things. Like, he was always weirded out by Barry. He was weirded out by Supergirl. He never really got used to it. So
I'm not wearing a costume, you know, things
like that. Stuff like that. So I think it's going to be fun to see him show up. And the cool thing about what the Arrowverse did and established is that these characters, it makes sense it's going to make sense to see Diggle, right? Because he moves to Metropolis at the end of Arrow. It's going to make sense to see him on Superman and Lois. It's going to make sense to see him pop over to National City to talk to Supergirl real quick. It's going to make sense to see him in Central City. So all of that stuff tracks, and it's going to be good to see him not only in front of the camera, but also to see what he does behind the camera as well. I think it's always neat when the actors get a chance to direct, because they bring something a little bit different to the project and to the episodes that they're doing, especially because they have a different perspective, I think, than most people who are just directors, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder, I mean, they don't specify, but do you think he's directing the episodes that he's in, or is he going to be directing?
I think so.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm very curious to see what they do. I mean, it seems like Mark Guggenheim, like, really loves Green Lantern. Like, he keeps trying to make Green Lantern happen.
Lots of people really like Green Lantern. And here's the thing. when early on in the Arrow run, when they were kind of teasing out the fact that, oh, Diggle could be Green Lantern, I was like, yeah, that's great, but we have a Black Green Lantern, that's John Stewart, and he is, in my opinion, the most recognizable of the Green Lanterns, not Hal Jordan, because of the Justice League cartoon, and like that's the one that most people knew, and and I think it's a failure on Warner Brothers' part that they have not, you know, leaned into that. They have not explored utilizing Jon Stewart more in their media. I think it's a failing on their part. And they're always, like when they did the Green Lantern movie, of course they went with Hal. It's like, well, nobody knows and cares about Hal. Plus, Hal's like one of the worst Green Lanterns anyway. So yeah. He's not even that great of a character. Go with Jon Stewart. And so when they went when they introduced Diggle's stepfather, and his last name is Stewart. And so I guess they're kind of checking that box. But my issue is like, I don't want to have a situation where you turn him into Jon Stewart. If he's going to be Green Lantern, he should be John Diggle as the Green Lantern, not like make him a different version of Jon Stewart. He should still be Diggle, just one that is worthy of a Green Lantern ring.
Yeah, it's interesting because one of the many Green Lantern projects that Mark Guggenheim has been involved with over the years is the upcoming one for HBO Max, right?
Yes, which also is missing Jon Stewart.
Jon Stewart, yeah. And it seems like a weird choice. I mean, Hal Jordan's not going to be in it either, right?
Agreed, yeah.
It's going to be like Guy Gardner and who, like Kilowog or something like that?
Guy Gardner is in it, but... And Alan Scott, but the main person that I think that they're going to use is as the main character is Jessica Cruz, which is cool, which is fine. She's one of the newer ones. That's fine. And Simon Baz, I think is a great character also. Kind of furthering my point that there's so many other Green Lanterns who are better characters than Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
But still, like Jon Stewart though is kind of become the flagship of that franchise, and he's underutilized across the board by DC, and I think that's a failing of theirs.
Maybe that's the reason. Maybe because they have plans to do stuff with, you know, who, I mean, it's, I didn't know that his stepdad's name was Stewart or whatever, but you know, okay, you know, maybe they have plans to you know, use Jon Stewart essentially in the Arrowverse, and they don't want to cross the streams like that. I mean, that's something which was, you know, interesting listening to your show. Like when I was watching Arrow and they killed Amanda Waller, I was like, why would they do that?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you placed it in the proper historical context, which is, you know, they were clearing the way for the Suicide Squad movie. You know, as someone who had seen Suicide Squad before Arrow, that didn't mean anything to me. Yeah. But when you think about it in terms of corporate whatever, and you're like, well, we don't want confusion or something consumer, which doesn't make any sense.
I mean, agree. It really doesn't make any sense, which is why, like, you can have a Jon Stewart on your HBO Max show and you can have John Diggle in the Arrowverse. Cause it's like in fandom this year, DC made a big deal about like, oh yeah, we have a multiverse, so this is why we can do all these different projects and you don't have to get confused. It's like, well, you've had a multiverse since the original Crisis comic books in the 80s. Like, yeah. How is it that you're just now realizing this, like 30 plus years later? Like, you could have used that as your reasoning for a lot of things instead of just like, nope, we can't have people be confused.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense, but... whatever. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't make any sense.
That is true.
Regarding DC. But speaking of the multiverse, there's a new show which is going to be on the CW now, which is in development from Ava DuVernay. It's Naomi.
Yeah.
Which is based on a new comic, I'm assuming.
Fairly recent. It's a couple of years old.
Okay. But it's by Brian Michael Bendis. So
yes.
Okay. I'm a big fan of Bendis, but I haven't really been keeping up with comics. So have you read this comic?
I've read the first couple of issues. It's neat. I was reading too many, so I had to make some cuts. Yeah. But I like it and I appreciate it. And, you know, the interesting thing with Naomi, and especially as far as like this new show is concerned, I think that it's it could be something that they can cross over if they chose to with the Arrowverse shows, or it could just be a standalone thing by itself. And it could, you know, make references to the fact that there is a larger DC universe out there, but it doesn't necessarily have to be an Arrowverse property. And I say that because the Arrowverse, it seems, is on its last legs, because Black Lightning is going to finish after its fourth season. Supergirl is finishing this season. And then Batwoman, depending on ratings, who knows how long that's going to go. Legends of Tomorrow might be on its last legs as well. Same thing with The Flash. So we are not really sure what the future of the Arrowverse really entails. So you can have Naomi be part of it, or you cannot. And I think it's flexible where you can, it's flexible enough, and it's flexible enough of a story and material that you can kind of play it that way.
Well, the fact that it's a character who travels through the multiverse makes me think that it's pretty easy to do whatever you want with it, right?
Basically, yeah.
And I mean, that seems to be kind of what they're doing with things like Stargirl and Titans and stuff like that, where they're not in the main timeline. I mean, Supergirl is now, but it wasn't to start with, right? Is
correct.
That okay? So, you know, I mean, it seems to make sense that at some point there would be a crossover, but it is interesting in that this is the first one which is not produced by Berlanti.
Yeah. So that's what made me start to think in the line that I was.
Yeah. It's an interesting idea, and it's interesting that they can play around with it in that sort of way.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely curious about it. I mean, anything that Ava DuVernay does, you know, I'm going to check out.
Well, yeah, and the cool thing is, like, it's and it still kind of feels the whole CW brand of having a comic book show on its network, because remember, you know, Riverdale is also a comic book show if you think about it.
Yeah, that's true.
So and Ava's name behind it is a big name, so that kind of automatically gives it the clout that I think it needs to capture viewership.
Yeah, and this is actually the third DC project that's been announced that she's working on. I didn't realize she was such a big comic book fan, I guess, or maybe she's not.
Yeah.
I don't know, but she's got DMZ, which is, I think, shooting now. And then there's
she's
new
writing
gods.
The New Gods.
Yeah.
Which that's the one I'm really excited about.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of DC television shows. I've been trying to work through them all, but I mean, as someone who's like going through the Arrowverse, I mean, we're doing Supergirl, we're doing Black Lightning. We haven't gotten there yet, but we will. But like, okay, Stargirl and Titans and Doom Patrol, like, they don't tie in, right, any more than just like the Crisis thing. So
correct, yeah, they don't.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. So, and the thing is, like, I think this is, and I've said this for a while, but, and a lot of people share this sentiment, like, out there, but I think DC kind of excels on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And they've kind of been doing so for a while now, right? And so, because a lot of the stuff that they're doing on TV, on the small screen, kind of works. And I think it suits their style, and it suits the characters that they have better, I think.
Yeah, for a while there, people were, you know, basically saying, like, if you want to see good comic book movies, you go to Marvel. But if you want to see good comic book TV, you go to DC. And, you know, the Marvel TV was maybe not so great, and the DC movies were maybe not so great.
Yeah, but, I agree with that.
Yeah. Well, that's not stopping DC from making movies. They're still making them, and they've just announced, or someone announced, I guess Hollywood Reporter announced, that they are working on another one now called Plastic Man. Well, maybe it won't be called Plastic Man, because the interesting take on this one is that it's going to be a female-led Plastic Man movie. So,
okay,
Plastic Woman, perhaps?
Perhaps. I'm confused by this one, because it's like, either A, somebody has a real affinity for the character of Plastic Man.
Yeah.
Or they just chose Plastic Man because, like, they figure that nobody really will really care if they make this particular hero female-centric. And then the other angle on this is like, well, if Plastic Man is in it, he doesn't necessarily need to be the main character. And is that where they go with the female centric thing? Because it's confusing, because you can look at it any one of those three ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And who knows for sure. The new script is being written by Kat Vasco, who's an up and coming writer. She's done a lot of scripts which have sort of like made the rounds in Hollywood and have been very well received, but I don't think she's had anything which has actually been produced yet.
Okay.
But it's a rewrite of the project started up a couple of years ago with another writer, and it is curious to see like why Plastic Man, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I can see it's, to me it seems a lot like what happened with Ant-Man at Marvel, right? Where, you know, they go to Edgar Wright and they're like, you want to make a Marvel movie? And he's like, yeah. And they're like, what movie? And he's like, Ant-Man. And they're like, okay, you know? And then, you know, creative differences and he leaves and everything. And then we get an Ant-Man movie and it's like, would we have really had an Ant-Man movie if at some point Edgar Wright hadn't said, I want to make an Ant-Man movie?
Yeah.
Like, I kind of think the answer is no. But
yeah,
who knows? So I kind of see it as being similar to that, but there does seem to be some sort of attraction to this character, I think, in the same way that, you know, there is to Ant-Man, in that, you know, this isn't the first time that a Plastic Man movie has been in development. I don't know if you remember, but right after The Matrix, the Wachowskis were going to follow that up with a Plastic Man movie.
Yeah.
And auteur who wants to do something weird, and it's like, cool, you know, if you have a cool take on it, great. I mean, I keep on thinking about like Guardians of the Galaxy and how I had no idea who the Guardians of the Galaxy were going into that movie, and I'm like, I don't care, I'm not interested, why would I care about this? And then I see the movie and I'm like, oh, this is the best Marvel movie. Okay, why did I doubt them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know. It's an interesting thing.
And then the other thing with this is like, you know, they want it to be female centric and, you know, that's cool and all, but like, what about the other DC women that aren't getting any shine, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so like everybody knows Wonder Woman and people are now more aware of the Huntress because of Birds of Prey. Same thing with Harley Quinn and the Black Canary, right? But let's also not forget that there's Power Girl, there's Bumblebee, there's Zatanna, there's a whole list of characters that we could use that would be good in movies.
Yeah.
But they're not ever going to get their shine if this happens. You know, it's an interesting line to observe, and it's a fine line to kind of observe and cross.
Yeah, no, it is. But I think that you know, it further lends to your, you know, idea that this is something that someone
really wants to do.
Yeah, right, right. Well, we shall see. Still early stages. Who knows? Maybe it'll never even happen. But they are working on it, though. So speaking of things which are never happening, Noah Hawley gave an interview recently because he just finished up season 4 of Fargo. I don't know. Have you watched any of his stuff? Have you watched Fargo or Legion?
I watched just a little bit of this season because of Chris Rock.
Yeah. Did you watch Legion at all, or
no?
I did watch Legion.
Was it good?
It's amazing. It's
okay.
It's like an art house version of X-Men. You know?
Okay.
It's like he's pulling a lot of from Stanley Kubrick, but it really does feel like if Stanley Kubrick were to make an X-Men movie, and you just sit there and you watch it, and you're like, I don't really understand what they're saying most of the time. I'm having trouble understanding what's going on in this thing, but it is amazing, you know?
Okay.
Highly, highly recommended. And because of that, I'm willing to see anything that this guy does. You know, I went to see Lucy in the Sky. That was a bad movie, but it was bad in a really interesting way. So when they said he was making a Star Trek movie, I was like, sign me up. I'm there.
Okay. You know?
Well, they had a regime change over at Paramount. new head of the studio and everything. And when that happens, usually they take all of the projects which were in development and just throw them all away and start from scratch. Yeah. And there was some question as to whether or not Noah Hawley's Star Trek would survive the cut. And it was kind of up in the air for a while, but in this interview, he pretty much puts the nail in the coffin there.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's interesting. The whole interview, he was towing the line of being very vague, but also being definitive, giving definitive no answers to things.
Yeah, yeah. And that was a pretty definitive no. I mean, interesting that it came really, really close to happening, but it just wasn't meant to be. So who knows what's going to happen with Star Trek now? I mean, they had three movies in development all at the same time. I don't know if all of those are thrown out the window or whatever. Certainly the one that I was most intrigued by was the movie that Tarantino was developing.
I was just about to ask, is that still a thing?
I mean, I think it's in kind of the same state as this one, right? And then there was another one with just the new cast that was being developed, written by J.D. Payne and Patrick McKay, who are the showrunners of the new Lord of the Rings TV show. Okay. And it was going to be directed by S.J. Clarkson, who did the pilot for Jessica Jones and stuff like that.
That would have been good.
It would have been good.
Would this have used the Kelvin cast?
It would have used the Kelvin cast, and the idea was basically Kirk was going to meet his dad. So it was going to be both Chris's, you know, Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth. Problem with that, the reason why it didn't happen is because both Chris's were like, pay us. And the studio was like, you're too expensive. So that kind of went away. So everything is in limbo right now with Star Trek movies. Who knows what's going to happen?
They're having a renaissance on TV, though.
They are definitely having a renaissance on TV, and I think that is one of the reasons why this is not a super high priority for them on the theatrical side. Just too bad. But, you know, Hawley has had most of his success on the small screen, and the project which he had been developing before regime change at Fox was an alien television show.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, come on, you know?
Oh, yeah. Sign me up for that.
Exactly. You know? And the reason why that stalled was because Disney bought Fox. But that's, like, if you look at his response to those questions in this, you know, the interviewer says, like, I've heard that this is in the works. I heard that deals are being done. And Hawley's response isn't no. It's, well, I know they want to do something. It's something that we worked on a few years ago, but we haven't talked about it in the past couple weeks. The past couple weeks? I mean, that's very recently, you know?
Yes.
And when pressed, he didn't say, like, no, it's not happening. He said, I'm not committed to anything.
Yeah, so again, this is what I'm saying. Like he was either extremely vague or giving a definitive no.
So I have a feeling that this is in the works, that it is going to happen, and that to me is awesome. I can't
That'd
wait.
That'd be
for
really
that.
Cool.
Yeah. Are you a Damien Chazelle fan? Did you see La La Land and Whiplash?
I saw Whiplash, and I thought it was all right. As a musician, there were some things that were questionable. I didn't like La La Land all that much. I'm kind of iffy on him.
Yeah, I my mom's a musician. I showed her Whiplash, and she's like, boy, I should really be harder on people, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know that that's the lesson here, but, you know, okay, go for it, you know? I loved Whiplash. It really surprised me. And then La La Land, I think, was like the best movie of the decade. So, you know, anything that this guy does, I'm looking forward to. He did that Netflix show over the summer, The Eddie. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
It's really weird. It's like, it's about like a jazz club in Paris. And you're like, oh, the jazz club, and you know, people just they love jazz, and you know, oh, that's great, and you know, oh, they're having some financial troubles. Will they still be able to keep this club going and still be able to play their music? And then, like in the first episode, like one of the owners is like murdered because he's involved with like organized crime.
Of course,
and it's like, okay, so it's about like jazz and fun music stuff, but then also like here's some guy getting like brutally knifed to death, you know, that sort of thing. Okay. It was a really strange show, but
gotcha.
It's decent. I'm not saying it's great. it was decent.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd recommend it if you don't have anything else to watch.
Okay.
Well, he's working on a new movie, a big, you know, massive Hollywood production called Babylon, which is kind of in the same vein, I think, as something like Mank, where it's about Hollywood, right? I guess it would be in the 20s, right as they were making the transition from silent to talkies. And it was going to star Emma Stone and Brad Pitt, but due to some scheduling conflicts, Emma Stone has dropped out, and now Margot Robbie has taken over that role. So it's going to be a Once Upon a Time in Hollywood reunion for another Once Upon a Time
in Hollywood.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. Well, see, it's interesting because, well, I guess this is kind of hitting out of, I guess, a theme with me, because like I've grown to not be a fan of these types of films for a variety of reasons. Basically, kind of not my cup of tea, but like in lieu of like recent events, it's kind of like over my eyes, just like, oh, well, this is just an excuse for them to keep doing the same stuff they've always done.
I'm a sucker for anything about, you know, old Hollywood and that sort of thing. So I'm excited to see it. I mean, this is certainly a subject which has been tackled multiple times in movies. Singing in the Rain.
There's that too.
Singing in the Rain, great. The Artist, maybe not as great.
Yeah,
you know?
I love Singing in the Rain. And The Artist I thought was okay.
It was fine. Yeah. It's just so weird because like that was, I mean, it won Best Picture, you know?
It sure
Everyone
did.
Was like, have you
see,
heard anyone mention that movie in the past?
Since?
Yes.
Yeah, no. And like, that's the thing. Like, I thought it was great. I didn't think it was Best Picture great.
No. It wasn't. I do have, I'm constantly reminded by The Artist, though, because I do have a piece of film from The Artist framed and hanging on my wall at home, because it was the last movie to run on film at my movie theater. And so the end ran through the projector, I was able to cut off the very tail end of the film, not the actual movie, but the, you know, and get that framed and everything. So
that's really cool.
Constantly reminded by The Artist, even though I couldn't care less about that movie.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the other big story this week is concerning a Marvel TV show. It seems like, I don't know, are the tables turning? Is Marvel stepping up their game finally and their TV shows are actually going to be good?
Maybe. And, well, this is going to be the first like Marvel shows like on Disney Plus, because we know that Marvel had like a pretty good run on Netflix, but those are, you know, that's gone.
So. That's true. Yeah. 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 And it's interesting because like every Marvel TV show has sort of been like, we're part of the movies, right? And then the movie people are like,
no, you're not.
Not really. No.
No, you're not. We want nothing to do with you. So.
But this one is actually produced by Kevin Feige and everything like that. And of course, we have WandaVision coming out in January, and then Falcon and Winter Soldier coming out later on this year. But
which is poorly named, I think. It should be Captain America and Bucky. Why is this so difficult?
That would be good. Well, when does it take place? I guess that's a question, right?
I'm assuming it takes place in whatever present that they're in, because they weren't. It's not like they were friends when they first met.
That's true. Well, we're also getting a Hawkeye show, and of course, Jeremy Renner is starring in it. But there's a pretty large supporting cast, which was announced. They started filming, and some people took some pictures. Something which was long rumored was Haley Steinfeld was going to play Kate Bishop.
Yes,
and that is confirmed. Now, as someone who hasn't read a Hawkeye comic probably ever, who exactly is Kate Bishop?
Kate Bishop is Hawkeye. She is his protege turned sidekick turned partner. And he was introduced to me in Young Avengers. This is like, what, almost 15 years ago. And she's worked her way up through the ranks, become kind of developed somewhat of a cult following. And she really got a really, she got her, I think, her just due in the Matt Fraction run on Hawkeye. This is a few years ago now, about 4 or 5 years ago, which I think is probably the best run of Hawkeye, like, ever. Is Matt Fraction's run. It was so unique. It was so well done. It featured both Clint and Kate Bishop and made me really fall in love with that character. I think she's great.
So this could potentially be something where they, you know, if Jeremy Renner gets too expensive, or they can be like, oh, this is now the Kate Bishop show and it's still Hawkeye.
Yeah. And the thing is, I don't think a lot of fans would mind that at all. There's a large, she has a large following, and I think people wouldn't mind that if she was just the next Hawkeye. Like, I don't think people would really bat an eye at it. I wouldn't.
I'd be okay with it. Yeah. That sounds cool. Well, okay. I mean, there's some other people in this show. It sounds like everybody is pretty much playing versions of characters from the comics. Like, there's Vera Farmiga, Tony Dalton. But one name which really stands out is Florence Pugh, who plays Black Widow's sister in the new Black Widow movie.
Yeah.
And who a lot of people have been speculating they're going to do, like what you were saying with Kate Bishop, they're going to make her the new Black Widow.
Yes.
Going forward, because obviously current Black Widow, spoilers, is no longer with us.
Yes.
So this is pretty cool. I mean, there's rumors that she's going to be in Falcon and Winter Soldier as well. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it sounds like she's going to be a semi-regular on this show.
It seems that way. When I saw that, I was surprised to see her name as part of the casting news. And then I was just like, oh, well, I guess she's going to start floating around their, whatever they're going to call this TV universe, MCU TV. I don't know. Maybe we should get that as a hashtag. Maybe get
MCU
that going.
Plus. Yeah.
MCU Plus. I like that one.
It's crazy stuff. I mean, they've got a lot of stuff in the works right now. So, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, we got the Hawkeye, we got the Falcon and Winter Soldier, WandaVision, She-Hulk, Moon Knight, right?
Likely, yeah.
I think those are the only five that I can think of.
Oh, and also don't forget Blade at some point, whether that's going to be a movie or a TV show. Still don't know, with Mahershala Ali.
I'm guessing it's going to be a movie, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you get Mahershala, you make that a movie.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So out of those five, is there one which you're really looking forward to?
Oh, Hawkeye.
Hawkeye?
Hawkeye, because I love Kate Bishop. I also love Hailee Steinfeld. So I think she's great.
Yeah, that Bumblebee movie was pretty awesome, right? I mean, that's that's the Bumblebee movie that we want, or that I wanted, you know?
Well, no, I think, well, see, I was thinking more on the lines of her in The Edge of 17.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which was really good. Yeah. And she was also great in the Pitch Perfect movies, too.
Pitch Perfect, yeah. And True Grit, you know, where she got her start. That was pretty good. Yeah. I'm looking for, of course, I'll watch all of them, but I think the one that I'm looking forward to most is WandaVision, just because it seems so weird and outside of the box. I think that could be interesting.
Yeah.
So, something to look forward to.
Yep. There's lots of stuff. There's always lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff. All right. Well, should we wrap this up?
Yeah. Let's go for it.
So where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias. And you can also find me talking about all the things that make Arrow Arrow on Always Hold On to Arrow. You can find us on Twitter at Do Not Fail Our Pod. And we are part of the United Federation of Podcasts. You can find us at UFP Earth.
You can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Mumbles3K. You can also find me on my website, filmdamagepod.com, doing a show called Film Damage, where we talk about film projection, Star Trek, and time travel. And you can find us on thenerdparty.com or at Join Nerd Party on Twitter. You can also email us at news@thenerdparty.com if you want to share any comments or what have you. And yeah, all right. Well, thanks for listening. And until next week. I don't have a catchphrase. You have a catchphrase?
Not yet. We need to come up with one.
All right. We'll workshop that.
All righty.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.